This episode is brought to you by Smarty, your go-to address data intelligence. Whether you need address validation, autocomplete, geocoding, or property data, Smarty has you covered. Trusted by top companies like Uber for lightning-fast, accurate address solutions, Smarty makes sure your data is clean, verified, and up-to-date. Simplify your data with Smarty and make every address count. Check them out at smarty.com/podcast and see how they can help your business. Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have Amy on the podcast and she's also a fellow podcaster. How are you doing, Amy?
I am so good, Ganesh. Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, thank you so much for being here and thank you so much for staying up late for us.
I'm usually awake anyway, just conscious. We'll see.
Yeah, barely conscious.
I'm holding my eyes open.
Yeah, I think that should be the title of this episode, right? Barely conscious.
That's me of late.
Not you, but it seems like the whole civilization.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Right? Like, it's very hard to find conscious people around.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Conscious or like burying your head in the sand, mm-hmm. like pretending that things are not happening like they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And more of lately, it's more about food, right? Like it's sure. almost like a bio warfare at this point of time. Right. Yeah. Do you like food?
I love food.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what would I say if somebody said I don't like food. Like, I really don't have an answer for that.
I talked to a girl a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. No, it was my first full week in Virginia, and I went out to dinner. Well, I just had dessert because I have dinner with my dog. But she was like, oh my gosh, there are times when I forget to eat. I'm like, I don't understand those words. What does that yep. even mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
everyone's different. Mm-hmm.
I'm very large.
I clearly don't forget to eat.
Yeah, but also imagine forgetting your natural instincts. Right?
Right?
And eating is like most primal part of a human being.
It's fuel.
Right. Yeah, and you know, some people like to make fun, right? Like, I'm fueled by depression and anxiety. I'm like, yeah, try quitting food. Right? Like, yeah. People would be very quickly brought back to their senses, I feel like.
For sure. Yeah. Right?
And also the fact that, like, if you look at today's children, not even children, even people my age, like, 25, 28, 30, whatever. The disconnect between, I would say, the process of manufacturing food organically or even just by naturally, right. and the consumption, right? The disconnect is so weird. It's not even bad at this point. It's just weird.
Right.
Because I saw a YouTube video where, you know, they were telling children that, do you know, cows also drink milk. And they're like, what? Right? It's almost weird for them because they've always, seen this as a product from the cow. And they're like, how can cow drink milk? Like, they forgot the whole process, right? Like, why does a cow, produce milk at the first place?
Right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, food is an interesting thing because, I mean, you were talking about consumption and there are people that just go crazy and eat a lot, mm-hmm. And eat, all the decadent foods and, the rich foods and very expensive foods. And then there's, people that, like I would say, forget to eat, but there's also the people that are left out. And those people mm-hmm. are more and more, that population is growing.
Yeah.
It's something I'm very, very conscious of all the time.
Yeah. But it's at the same time, right? Like, for example, United States,
I think 40% of produce goes to dumps, if I'm right. Oof.
Right. I don't know the, I believe that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it really doesn't make sense because, you know, we are supposed to have, you know, shitload of food, but we don't.
Yeah. I mean, we're putting 40% in the landfill that, yeah. And they're, like I was saying, the huge mm-hmm. amount of people that are growing that are hungry.
Yeah.
And we're just wasting food. Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Yeah. Also, it also feels like, right, as we look at the world as one, right, you know, people are hungry, but, you know, they're getting fed the wrong things.
Yes. Right. Oh my gosh, the fast food and the junk food
mm-hmm.
yeah. that's offered is that mm-hmm. is
but I good. You know, I almost feel like fast food started out from a very positive mindset, right?
Yes, convenient.
Mm-hmm. But it slowly walked towards, you know, being, yeah, let's not do that.
Let's not. Yeah.
Right.
It's really sad. And I have this conversation often that, you know, the fast food and the junk foods are, and the super highly processed foods, are more affordable than real food, healthy food, food that will nourish the body as opposed to just make the body sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like nearly impossible to get the healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
For some folks.
Yeah, but I also hate those neighborhoods, especially in US, where they have lawns. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, like watering grass?
Yeah.
Yes.
And big lawns, not even small ones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're spending these valuable resources on growing nothing. And you don't even have horses or sheep to eat that grass.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I just moved and my front lawn is like this blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, you know, every week I go to the farmer's market and I pick up a different, you know, tree or flower or something. Mm-hmm. I bought a hibiscus plant and I bought a fig tree and, you know, a butterfly bush and all these things. And I'm like, I'm trying to create this food forest, but I'm also poor. So I can only, not poor, but you know, I can't afford to just go crazy and buy everything. So it's a slow process, but I feel really bad because everyone in this area is very obsessive about the way that their lawn looks. So, you know, this guy across the street from me came over and he didn't know how to like say hello. So he mowed my lawn. I was like, oh, it didn't hurt my feelings. I felt bad because I didn't have cash to pay him, but he was like, no, I just wanted to say hi. And I couldn't figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep asking me like, can I, you know, do you want me to mow your lawn? I'm like, you can mow it once, but I don't want to do this long-term. Like I want to grow food.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have an HOA there?
Do I have a what?
HOA.
Oh, HOA. Not where I am. No.
Good.
No. I'm in agricultural land because I brought my chickens with me for my move.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, HOAs are the most micro authoritarian, you know, like figures, right? It's same as the school, you know, the boards in schools, right? Like, I feel like it's like giving micro authority to somebody who doesn't know how to handle it.
Oh, I could not. I couldn't do that. I just don't like, you know, I'm paying all this money for this home and I don't want someone to tell me what I can do with it.
Yeah. It's just so that's what up. I thought, right? Imagine the whole country which was built on freedom. you know, getting
what trawled, a concept.
Right? Getting trolled by, you know, old ladies and old, you know, gentlemen, like, come on, like get a handle on it. Right.
Oh my gosh.
Because, I have a friend, you know, who's working on a food forest, but you know, she has an HOA where she lives. And there is this huge issue going on because they're like, you will drive down the prices of, you know, the real estate. And she's like, yeah, anyways, a crash is coming. So, you know, who really cares? Right.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And, you know, if...
How dare you grow food? What?
Yeah. Like, how dare you be independent? Right. It's an unheard concept, you know.
It is crazy pants.
Yeah. Because what they're saying is, you know, it will drive down the real estate prices. But, you know, my point of view on that is if, you know, being self-sufficient, right, and getting the best output out of your own land drives down the prices, then yeah, maybe the person who's talking doesn't know real estate. Clearly, right?
Oh gosh. I can't even begin to understand the mindset in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it's amazing how people have forgotten like the most necessary skills in terms of food, right? Like, they don't know how to grow. They don't know how to even identify good fruit from bad fruit.
Right.
And, you know, in India, because that's where I'm from, although, you know, I talk a lot of American nonsense, but, you know, I'm still Indian.
American nonsense?
Yeah. So, in India, it's like every... third person is a farmer. Like, that's the amount of farmers that we have over here.
Right. And here the farmers are retiring and they're a rare breed.
Yeah, but still it's prevalent, I would say. And it's alarming for me to even see how, you know, city folks, because I'm a city folk. So, you know, I'm seeing, you know, city folks forgetting where they come from, right? And, you know, acting all Western and stuff. Like, you know, like they want to go to Starbucks and, you know, McDonald's or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that you should really not do it. maybe because, yeah, look at what's happening, you know, to the countries, right, where McDonald's came from. So maybe, just maybe, you know, like, be a little bit more careful, right, with what we do. And, you know, I go to schools and teach children how to do farming and gardening and stuff. And I am already seeing that disconnect in India, right? And, you know, people don't understand this, but India is one of those major food baskets of the world, right? Because we export a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm scared that if I'm seeing that trend here, right, in cities with children who have a total disconnect to soil, right? Soil is just an essence. I would imagine it's pretty shit in on your side too, right?
Yeah, sure.
So how do you see this thing going in terms of future? Like, where do you think we'll end up?
If I knew, I feel like I could fix something or, you know, start a movement or something. Like, I'm working on it, but I'm, you know, I don't want to say I'm just one person and I can't make a difference, but I feel like there are some things that you need, like a popular vote, you know, I was just at the store yesterday picking up cheese. And I asked, so in my store in Maine, they would sell cheese ends. So if you go to like a deli and you say, I'd like, a, you know, however much of whatever cheese, they'll like slice it until it gets to this like weird end. And then they don't slice it anymore. So Virginia, where I am now, is, I don't want to offend anyone.
You will. Yeah, I can pretty much guarantee it.
They are not as progressive in a lot of ways as even Maine. So like, you know, in Maine, I could go and say, you know, do you have any cheese ends to sell? And they would say, sure. You know, they're a little bit cheaper because they're not pretty, but they make mac and cheese just like anything. And the dog eats the cheese and I eat the cheese and, you know, it's just cheaper and then you can get more cheese. But things like that. And so, you know, talking to them, I've been to 3 or 4 different grocery stores in the few weeks I've been here and I asked them all and they're like, oh, we just throw that away. I'm like, oh, that's food. Why are you doing that? But, you know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and she happened to be the deli manager, and she was like, I've never been asked that before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it makes the best mac and cheese. She was like, I bet that's true. She's like, I don't like mac and cheese. I'm like, never mind, I can't talk to you. But she was like, that's a really interesting idea. She's like, if people wanted it, then we should probably do that. But of course, you know, then you have to talk to all the people. I wanted to just, you know, walk around and be like, hey, would you buy cheese ends if there was such a thing? Just like start the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know this is, it's such a sort of petty thing, but at the same time, like, it's just, you know, like, I hate the waste. Mm-hmm. You know, everything but in also, plastic. And
yeah, but also it looks like it's very anti-capitalist, isn't it? To get the best out of everything and they're just throwing away food. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
Right? Because at this point, it's not even capitalism, right? It's just showboating. Right? Like, you know, the food needs to be pretty and all the apples need to be of same size and color.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not pretty, get rid of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I hope we don't do that with humans.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
I mean, we sort of are.
Yeah, we sort of
in ways.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because the another trend, right, that I'm seeing is with all the farmer protests that is going on with in your country, right, in terms of owning their farming equipment and being able to maintain it, right, that's a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
surprisingly, India and United States are kind of, you know, opposite to each other in terms of that, because India started out as a country because we were ruled by white people for like 200 years. You know, we started off by centralized technology, right? So you'd have to give your farming equipment to service, to the service center. And now the trend is, you know, people are going towards maintaining the things themselves. Whereas in United States, I see that you people started out, right, saying, you know, free country. And now it's like, you know, get a subscription if you want to drive the next tractor.
yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I understand that it's a trend, and, you know, if it works, it works. I don't know why it works or how. But
I was going to say, who does that work for?
Right? But it clearly works for, works in terms of raising the cost of food.
100%.
Right. I mean, if a farmer has to pay like $400 a month in subscription to use his own equipment that he paid for,
right?
He's going to drive up the prices. He or she is going to drive up the prices. That's just natural.
Yep.
Right. And then we have this whole kind of illusion that, you know, we don't have enough food.
Right? Yes. Right, because the farmers have to charge more because they need the equipment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's messed up.
It's messed up. And it's also like, farmers are always left alone. I don't know why. Like, they're like, government is like, yeah, man, go do your stuff. You know, like, right? It's literally, you know, saying get fucked to somebody, you know, on their face. That's farmers, right?
Yeah.
Of any country, be it India, United States, Argentina, Brazil, any country.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's such an interesting thing that farmers who provide the food, the nourishment for all the people, you know, the people that are growing the food, are not regarded in the way that they should be. You know, they are not given the respect that they should. Mm-hmm. And they are, you know, they're sort of a dying breed because it's so expensive that, you know, the younger generations are like, F that. Like, I'm not going to be in debt and be poor my whole life and work my butt off in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not an attractive thing, but you have to, you know, you have to really believe in it to be doing that, because it is not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. Definitely. Definitely, it's not easy when government also doesn't help. Right?
True story.
And, you know, when I talk to progressive people, I ask them, like, you know, you talk a lot about AI and technology, which is definitely good for the world, because I am also a digital marketer, so that works in favor of me. But I asked him, what was the last thing that you saw which was an act or a bill that was passed by the government which helps a farmer?
Right.
And most of the time it's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there was the farm bill.
Yeah.
I can't even remember how long ago that was, but mm-hmm. I think that there was a new one that was presented, but I was told I heard that it was a bad deal, and so no one should have taken that. But just, they're not, I don't know if the people in the government in the lead are really educated on what's happening.
No, I think it's just they don't care about it, to be honest. Because I feel like food is a system that has always worked.
Somehow.
Right? Somehow. Yeah. I mean, well, by faith or luck, right? It has worked somehow.
Somehow. I mean, a lot of people are eating because we have welfare programs and stuff like that, but they're getting junk food. So they are also, all the junk food that we have, it's not even just the fact that we're feeding people, but we're feeding people things that are making them sick. And so that's all showing up in the insurance side.
Let's not talk about that. We'll make more people sad.
But it's a little bit tragic,
right? At least in India, agriculture income is not taxed. It's not taxable, right? But I don't think that's the case in your side of the lake, right?
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I mean, I'm not a farmer.
But tech companies do get tax holidays. That's just funny, at this point of time. It's not even sad, because in India there is a lot of
pressure. You laugh because if you don't, you're gonna cry.
Exactly. Because in India what happens is, let's say you had bad crops this year, right? It didn't turn out. The loans are waived. They're just government's gonna pay for it, right? At least some movement is there. But I see a US farmer and I feel bad for them, because they are we need $500,000 to buy a tractor and maintain it.
Right.
And I'm like, $500,000 would get you so much, tractors in India, you couldn't drive it.
Yeah, right. You can't afford the fuel to go into it, or, the maintenance or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know last year in Maine, where I was living, it rained for 5 months. I think there were 2 weekends all summer that it did not rain. And so a lot of the crops were literally drowning.
Yeah.
And so it was a rough year. And man, if I was a farmer, I would have bailed so fast. So I give so much credit to all the farmers that came back and did it this year. And thank goodness it was a better year. They had a great year for crops this year. But last year, it was dismal. The conversations that you would have with them.
Yeah.
And, I just think about the people that have CSA, so community supported agriculture programs to feed people, their expectations, and to not be able to fulfill that. I don't know how I would handle that kind of pressure and failure.
Yeah. But I almost feel like, farmers at this point don't give a fuck about it. Right.
I mean, they can't, there's nothing they can do. Right.
Yeah. It's also the question of how much would a person care? Right. Because there is the financial cost. They have no help. People don't give a shit about farmers or quality food, right? And they bargain food like it's textile or, it's technology or something. It's right. not, right? Yeah. I know an economist said, I forgot his name. He said, a good year for a farmer is just an average year, because he's just making up the losses of the previous year.
Oh, man. Yes.
Right. Because I'm a racing fan, there is a saying in, you know, motorsports that says, if you want to be a millionaire in motorsports, you enter the sport as a billionaire. Right. And I'm like, yeah, try farming.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm such a supporter of the farmers because I'm in awe. I'm in awe of all that they can do, and the fact that they feed people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've made friends with a lot of farmers, and it's really, that's where it's at. Like,
yeah,
especially after, you know, the COVID pandemic.
Yes.
When things were in short supply, you can get anything at the grocery store.
But the point is, the COVID breakdown was not even a natural or an, you know, shortage from farming side. It was more of a logistical issue.
Yes.
Now imagine actual shortage of food.
Yeah. Oh, right? Gosh. Because lot of the farmers built like little farm stands at their houses.
Yeah, but you know, that kind of trend has always been up and down, right? Whenever a chain comes in, they get destroyed. Mm-hmm. All of the people go there. And then once the chain, you know, raises the price, they again come back to the farmer, you know. And you know, I understand from a consumer perspective that, you know, they need, you know, to spend the least amount on food because they have like Netflix subscription to pay to.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Amy, there is a study that says we went from 2014, I guess, where an average person was paying around $50 on subscriptions, right, in terms of tech. Today, the average is somewhere around $450.
Oh, my gosh.
The average.
$450?
Right. Time for a quick breather. Ever struggled with messy address data? Yeah, it's a pain. But not when you have got Smarty. From address validation to geocoding, these guys make sure your data is as clean as your favorite podcast playlist. They are super quick, super accurate, and trusted by the big leagues. Think Uber level. So, if you are in need of some address wizardry, head over to smarty.com/podcast and let Smarty take care of the rest. Now, back to our chat.
For subscriptions?
Yeah. So it's like everything related to tech and internet.
No way.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might.
I mean, yeah, there are people who pay, you know, a lot of money.
Sure. Right?
But if you look at food prices, it hasn't gone that up by that much. And we still like to bitch about food shortage. That's irony, right?
It's, yes. Yeah, I mean, and I mean, I was, I remember I heard a stat that in Maine, at least, where we have good amounts of land, mm-hmm. and we have quite a few farmers, but I think it's 90% of what is grown in Maine is exported.
Yeah, because of monocropping. Like, yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, just knowing that the town that I lived in had to expand the homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people That's can't, sad. It just, well, absolutely. But like mm-hmm. those people need to eat.
Yep.
But the food is coming from outside. It just is, mm-hmm. It was beyond my understanding. Mm-hmm. It's still beyond my understanding.
Yeah. Because in India, the problem I'm seeing a similar problem is even like 10 years ago, right? Farmers were not really dependent on a free market to feed themselves because Indian farmers tend to grow whatever they need on their own.
Right.
And then, you know, they do the monocropping. But now more and more people are doing monocropping, which means they have to be, you know, reliant on the free market to feed themselves. Mm. And guess what? If you have a bad year, you're just fucked because you know, you don't have the capability to grow. You don't have the capacity to sell, right?
Right.
And you're just stuck in this place where you don't know where to go.
Right.
Yeah, I wish more farmers became self-sufficient once again.
Yeah. Right. I had a recent podcast guest who has started somewhat of a co-op or a I want to say commune, but they have there's a group of farmers, a group of people that are purchasing like shared purchasing stuff like that. So like a bunch of farmers would go in and like share a tractor or share a freeze dryer or something like that. And so, you know, they're all sharing the costs and everyone has use of that and they would just trade off. And also would like buy large amount, you know, buy things in bulk and just like share it, you know, go in on the purchase and, you know, get a better price because you're buying in bulk. And I think there, we need more of that. We need more community in purchasing and, you know, just more sharing. We need more sharing. Just to share. Can we just share? Can we share, Ganesh?
No, I don't think so.
Everyone wants to, I mean, everyone wants to be so self-sufficient and like to each his own. And that's, you know, if, whatever it is, it is. But
yeah, because that, I feel like that's the breakdown of, you know, family structure. That is what has led to self-sufficiency as a word. Right? Because, you know, US went from a joint family to small families to nuclear family. Now everybody living alone. So yeah, breakdown of a family structure is the first thing that a government would love to do.
Right.
Because you don't have any unity. You can't do shit. Right.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. I mean, when I talk to Americans and I say, you know, like, I live with my parents. Because that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to run away from your responsibilities.
Right. Well, right? I mean, there's that. And you know, these days, a lot of people are going back to live with their parents because they can't afford to live on their own.
That's just selfish. Right.
I don't even know about that. Like, if I had a parent, I might have had to go to a parent.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's better than becoming a homeless, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But you see, like, what I'm trying to say is the family values stay only when you stay with your family. It's not like, you know, you live in Maine and I live in California and, you know, the family works. It doesn't.
Right.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah, because the whole breakdown of this family structure is very interesting if you really think about it. Because, you know, America is very good at capitalizing everything or anything. Right. You guys created retirement villages. Imagine that.
Right.
If I go to my grandmother and explain to her what does a retirement village consist of, it wouldn't make sense to her. She'd be like, what? Like, so what do I do there?
Well, I mean, I didn't realize that. The U.S. did that, but I guess that makes sense. Just kick them out when they're too much work.
No, Amy, I think that's not it. I feel like, and I'm being very, very brutal by saying, retirement villages are like the recycle bin of a computer. Once the productivity of a human is done, you know, you cannot suck any more life out of them. So you're like, yeah, man, go, chill. Don't come back, right? Like, that's your grave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and those, you know, a lot of those retirement villages are not awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely but not.
Some of them are really cool. Some of them are not.
But the question is, can you afford it?
That is exactly.
Right.
I mean, and if you're, you know, in a retirement village, it's not like.
I mean, the life must be pretty sad, I would say.
I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean, I think that it's, I mean, I would live in a retirement village. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could live in every one of them, but I think, you know, it's cool to have people that are your age that you can have conversations with and whatever, you know, if you are doing it before you are, I mean, as you were saying, you know, all the life has been sucked out of them and they're not useful anymore. Mm-hmm. That does not sound like fun.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't like sound fun.
But if you're
but Amy, I can tell you one thing, right? Having conversation with people your age is good, but living with them is pretty annoying, I would say.
Well,
yeah, because sure. You know, you are frustrated, you are angry. So is everybody.
Yeah, I mean, my friends and I have talked about doing something like that and all living together in a place, but we are very, very close. Yeah. I think that you just need to make friends with those people and just, you know, bear with it if they are having a moment, because the alternative is, again, like
homeless. Very dark. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they can actually be super fun. My mom lived in one for a little bit and it was pretty awesome. And I would not hesitate to live there.
Got it.
When I am done living on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is it can be an exception, but it should not be the norm, right?
Like, right. Family, you know, should take care of each other.
Yeah, if you have, like, you know, four daughters and five sons or whatever, like, you know, even two sons or even one son, you should not be going to a retirement village.
Right.
Right.
I have none of those people.
Nice.
So, yeah. When the time comes, sort of am going to be forced to do that. And it's fine. I will go to Connecticut. I will stay in that place and I will be super happy.
Yeah. Or you could just, you know, live on your own.
But I hear what you're saying. Well, right. I am living on my own, but there is going to be a time when it's going to be hard and I can't do all the things that I need to.
Yep.
But sooner than later is better for moving out.
Yeah. Or you could be like my grandfather who insisted, you know, living freely, right? You know, until he was like 99, I would say. Yeah, and then he just got ill and within like 2 months he passed away. So yeah, I mean, that's the perfect life model, I would say.
That's the perfect life model. I mean, I don't see myself living to 99. I live in the US and we eat crap food.
Yeah, but you have good environment because you're not living in like toxic cities.
The true story. Right. But yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I just, I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm going to be a total downer. Like everyone, almost everyone's going to die of cancer or a heart attack. So it's just a matter of time. And, or
I don't want to see. Or something that's manufactured in a lab. Right. Okay. Bio warfare. Yeah. I mean, moving away from sad things.
Right. Yeah. Right. The future is
very bright, optimistic,
very, very. But yeah, I mean, we just have to, our generation has to be better. We just have to be better. You know, we got to band together and be like, this is not what we want. And we got to do better.
Definitely.
And I don't know how to reach them all, but I'm doing my,
I mean, this is a platform.
Doing my best.
Right.
This is a platform and mine is a platform as well. And get on as many podcasts as we can. And
yeah, but unfortunately, I don't think this particular episode will be aired in retirement villages because the management will just hate me. Right. They're like, yeah, man, you're going to talk shit about me. Right.
I mean, the cool thing about podcasting is you make your own rules and that's.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, and unless it's not technically your podcast, Ganesh.
Yes, there are those, right? Yeah. Technically, they don't own shit.
All right.
Yeah. Walking away from bad things and negative things to more negative things. You know, like, are you aware of, like, what a joke that organic labeling has become in your country?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's unfortunate that it's necessary to be that specific. Mm-hmm. Like, produce should be produce, and it's just too bad that it's been, you know, it's, oh gosh. And then, of course, all the you know, anything that's organic is wrapped in plastic, which is
nice. I mean, better, I would say. Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious that it's organic. It's also wrapped in plastic, which is going to leave some plastic, and it's just plastic.
Yeah, but bad. Also, Amy, according to USDA, there are some chemicals allowed in organic farming.
Yes.
So, the Walmart of chemical industry really likes the label organic.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many stupid labels that mean literally nothing. I mean, organic means something, you know, it's,
I mean,
it's
used better to, at least. Yeah.
Right. It's better than commercially produced or, you know, farmed, but it's still, you know, it's not.
What about natural?
Stop it with the natural. Yeah, yeah. Natural flavorings.
No, but also, Amy, I recently found out that if you use chemicals that are made out of natural ingredients, you can call your farming as natural.
Yeah, natural means nothing to me. I just think of, I mean, I think literally, I was starting to say natural flavorings. Like,
yeah, also cyanide is also natural. So, yeah. I mean, it's a very potent chemical fertilizer. So, yeah, I don't know.
I know. I mean, there was a bagel that I bought bagels at a store that were, they were blueberry bagels. And I love blueberry bagels. But we found out that, you know, after actually looking at the ingredients, there are no blueberries in the blueberry bagels. It's like all these chemicals that make it taste like blueberry. But it's called, you know, natural flavorings.
Yep. Natural flavoring, natural stabilizers, right?
Damn it.
Acid stabilizers. And yeah, we are eating a lot of chemicals.
Yeah. I mean, and then, yeah. Oh, gosh. This can just go so dark.
Yep. Yep.
Going back to medical.
Also, but I also feel bad for, you know, young children in schools where there is public like food system where companies sponsor to get their food on the board. I'm like, you know, have you heard of that saying which says if something is free, you are the product? Have you ever heard of it?
Right. What are you feeding these children? My gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big supporter of the, I mean, I don't have kids, but I think that there should be gardens at every school.
Yep.
I mean, literally. Yep. And then teach them how to grow it.
Exactly. That should be a subject.
Yes. Absolutely.
Just like mathematics and physics.
Yes.
Yeah, because I never used Pythagoras' theorem in my life. But yeah, if crisis hits, I would have to, you know, prepare my own food.
Right.
There is, I mean, no, like,
it's necessary information.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have all that space on the school grounds.
Yep.
You know, I had a podcast guest who taught physics and he built a raised bed, a raised garden bed, and he taught them how to garden. And they were not impressed at first, but then when they saw things coming up, they were like, oh, hey, now that's really cool. And then they were totally into it. But he like taught them aquaponic gardening.
Yep.
And
actually, that's what I have found out recently, you know, when I'm teaching children, that aquaponic is the best system you could teach to a child. And if any of my listeners have children, I would suggest you to teach your child aquaponics. There are a few things involved. One, there is no soil, so they're more intrigued, like, how does this work? Because they have studied in the textbook that you know, plant comes from a soil. And second, aquaponic has 40% faster growth time. So if something was coming at like 60 days, it would come in 40 days. So children don't have patience. So, you know, it would be helpful. Right. And also, you don't need a lot of chemical to do aquaponics. At least in India, I don't know about you guys. So it also tastes better.
Okay.
Right. And aquaponic can be automated. So even if your child doesn't have to take care of a goldfish, just like that, they don't have to take care of the, you know, the plant. It can be automated. So,
right.
I would say that's the best thing that you could get your child hooked on. because once they see anything grow, yeah, they're in, they're hooked.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you don't have to get your hands dirty, but then mm-hmm. I, you know, for me, like the dirt, the soil part is like mm-hmm. the therapy.
Yeah.
You know, I call it dirt therapy and gardening therapy because it's it feels so good to be grounded and get your hands dirty and to yeah. work the soil.
But Amy, younger people look at soil as disgust, and it's something that's disgusting.
Dirty.
Yeah, I mean, you came from there, you're gonna go back there. So I don't know. maybe love it or maybe respect it a little bit more.
Yeah, but anyway, right. I mean, I think that schools. I agree with you. I think that all schools mm. should have a garden, and kids should learn how to do that.
The reason I started, you know, helping children is kind of reverse psychology, because I wanted parents to be responsible, and I saw they were the least responsible people. Like, they did not care. So like, okay, let's do this. Let's get your child hooked, and the particular child is going to bring their parents in, mm. and that's what I'm seeing. Because, you know, when children are actively doing something, right, parents, I don't know why, they want to get, you know, they want to interfere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, go ahead and do it. And now parents are doing it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like school sports, you know, the parents yep. drop them off and they go to the mm-hmm. games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get them involved in the gardening.
Yeah. So if children come, you know, parents are going to come in naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the kids will have something healthy to eat.
Yes.
What definitely. A concept.
Yeah. I mean, what a revolutionary concept, right? Like, we should probably patent that idea.
Let's do it. I mean, it's already out there. I can't take any credit, but I'm a big supporter of that. I think that's a brilliant mm-hmm. idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need more gardens. We just need more yes. gardens.
Yeah, we need more gardens. We need more honeybees. Mm-hmm. We need more animals. Yeah, we need a lot, actually.
Yeah, we need a lot of things. But I think that if we're growing things in our gardens, we mm-hmm. put some pollinator attracting plants mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that will attract the pollinators and the bees and mm-hmm. and there's two. Growing food, attracting bees.
Yep. Yep.
They're very and then important. The animals will probably come behind. I mean, they're going to be munching on your food and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, again. Yes. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, right? What do you think humans are capable of?
That's a big question, man. Yep. I mean, humans are, if we were all on the same side, we could do really great things. We could do really great things. I mean, if we mm-hmm. all just understood the game plan mm-hmm. and we're just not all on the same side. We're not mm-hmm. all in the same mindset there.
I think we're getting there.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, an alien invasion would definitely help now.
I mean, I think that we're getting closer, and I think mm-hmm. that people are getting it. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of
crisis.
Yeah, like we need the motivation for real.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we need a crisis or a war or, you know, something tragic to happen.
Pandemic.
Pandemic didn't do shit, if I'm being honest, because, you know, farmers kept working.
The farmers kept working, thank God.
Yes, and thank farmers more than God, I feel like.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, screwed. Thank goodness the farmers fake. Were able to still work.
And yeah.
So people were still able to get food. I mean, I know that our farmers markets closed down for maybe a couple months, but then...
But you could go to restaurants.
Mm-mm.
Right?
No, our restaurants were closed. No.
You know, you can... Oh, nice for you, I guess. Because
ours were closed.
Shut down. Yeah.
Yeah.
In India, people just didn't give a shit. You know, they were scared in first and second wave, third wave, and all. They were like, yeah, whatever, you know.
We've seen this before. We know how it ends.
Yeah. And, you know, like, there is something that
we're
that,
not all gonna die. Just some
no,
of
but
us.
Also there is something that needs to be studied in India that is like Indians and their kind of hate towards law.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, like people, you know, we were told what to do for 250 years, so they're like, yeah, we're kind of tired of it.
I hear that. Yeah.
Right.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, yeah, kind of, because it's, you know, we are a very young country. We are just like 76 years old.
Wow.
Right. So there
are people realize that
exist who were like dinosaurs, like they're like pre-independence.
Oh. Yeah.
And we have freedom fighters still alive, you know, who fought for our freedom. So it's like we are a very young country and we are not, you know, avid lovers of law to the letter. We're like, yeah, we are going to do what we feel like doing. And I might follow like 50% of the rule, 60%, not the total 100.
Well, what are the, I mean, are there consequences to the law?
Nope. I mean, there is, but, you know, there is something that, you know, when a law is broken in mass, it's not a, you know, crime anymore. Right? Because, you know, Indian government really tried hard to contain that in cities, right? Okay. With all the pandemic law, but in towns and villages, people are like, yeah, man, whatever, like, you know, come on.
Stop me.
Yeah, you have like 10 cops in a damn village of like 3,000 people. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, okay.
Right? Yeah, so we did not get much affected, but also there was a lot of pressure from local businesses, right, to restart. Yeah. I mean, the worst thing that I feel like to come out of pandemic is the QR menu.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to go and scan and just to read a menu.
Yeah. There's like no humanity.
Yeah. And you have to sit in your table and order even now. I'm like, why?
Less interaction. It's
right. I mean, businesses love it because it's reduction of cost. But
well, yeah, they don't have to deal with shortages as much.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, and they don't have to hire
that position.
People. Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much, Amy, for being here, right, talking to us. I know it's super late. Yeah,
I'm
but
good.
Thank you so much, and. Yeah, tell my audience where to find you and how can they listen to your podcast.
Oh, my goodness. So my name is Amy Fagan, and my podcast is called Grounded in Maine, because I lived in Maine. And it's about sustainability, and we talk a lot about food.
Mm-hmm.
And
where can they find you? Don't say I'm easy to find.
I'm mainly on Instagram. I have my Facebook page is linked to Instagram. So anything I post on Instagram goes on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see me, I'm on Instagram at Grounded in Maine Podcast. Yeah.
Got it.
That's pretty much it. Because I'm busy and I'm tired.
Yeah, that's the shortest cell that I've ever seen in my life.
The shortest cell?
Yeah.
I am not everywhere. I don't know. I resist. I resist a lot. I have an X account. I have a TikTok account. I open it up every so often and there's like yelling and it's just too noisy, too loud. So I just close it right back up.
Got it.
And X requires too much work.
X is too much work. Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Any final words? To my audience that you want to leave them with?
Oh my gosh. Think about where your food comes from. Since we're talking about food today, but also just just think about where your food comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too deep.
Yeah.
You like we haven't already.
You almost went to a Kanye mode where he's you're like, yeah, the world's not ready for this shit yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm so advanced.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. One of my previous podcast guests actually did a post on Instagram today. I'll send it to you because it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're on Instagram, right?
Come on. Of course.
No, I'm the one that's not on anything. But yes. I'll send that, because she was, it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But so Kari Upendo is her name, and she is autistic. Mm-hmm. And her mom was autistic. And mm-hmm. when she was 7, her mom like bailed. Mm-hmm. And not because she was bad, but just because as an autistic person, that was a lot to take on. Mm-hmm. And so she was brought up by her grandparents. And so she was telling this story about being a teenage mom and like mm-hmm. living in a car. And because it's, you know, it's suicide prevention, mm-hmm. Suicide Awareness Month, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it was about that and just how desperate she felt. I'm going to get out of this darkness, I swear. But so her son was helping her with her design business. Mm-hmm. And she taught him, like, they connected over sewing and stuff like that. And so they were working together on this design business. She decided to get out of the design business and work in education. And she mm-hmm. She was terrified that the kids in the schools did not mm. know where their food came from. Mm-hmm. So that she just had such a hard time with that. And so she ended up leaving. But, and so now she's in Georgia in the US mm. and she, this is hysterical. She has a farm with mm-hmm. her husband and three or four children. I think mm-hmm. her oldest is in college now. Mm-hmm. He is also autistic. So she's autistic. Her mom was autistic. She has two mm-hmm. sons that are autistic. And so they have this farm, and they raise alpacas, and they mm-hmm. sell the alpaca poop mm-hmm. for fertilizer. And she calls herself a duty dealer. But it was just this beautiful post about, you know, because she's teaching people about where their food comes from and how to use it. And just how valuable it is, because she came from a place where, you know, she was in such desperate times that she didn't know where she was going to get food to feed her mm-hmm. herself and her kid. So it was just beautiful, and it was so encouraging, because, you know, she really pulled herself up and mm-hmm. and made something for herself. And she, you know, from that place of not knowing where her next meal was going to come from, she is teaching other people mm-hmm. to appreciate that and to grow their own food.
Yeah. I mean, she should have that title as like the official title.
Duty dealer?
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Right. A t-shirt would sell better, I feel like.
Except that she's totally fashionable. Like, she will wear a black leather skirt in the garden mm. and to go collect chicken eggs and stuff. And she's all dolled up because she's like, I'm in fashion. I live on a farm, but I am still fashionable. Mm-hmm. And she wears high heels.
Nice. So yeah, thank you so much, Amy, once again for being here. And to my folks, guys, this is the end of the episode. If you're not yet offended, thank you so much for being here. And you know, until next time, thank you and take care. Bye-bye.
Before we wrap up, one last nod to our friends at Smarty. If you're serious about keeping your address data in check, whether it's validating, auto-completing, or digging into property info, Smarty is your go-to tool. They have got the speed, accuracy, and the trust of top names like Uber. So don't settle for less. Swing by smarty.com/podcast to see how they can help your business. Thank you for tuning in. We will catch you later.